Tomorrow's character is made out of today's thoughts. Sexual sin never comes out of the blue. It is the predictable result of natural processes. Today on Renewal, our host and teacher, Dr. Gene Getz, concludes his conversation with Randy Alcorn, who has written a powerful little book entitled The Purity Principle. Our battles against sexual sin begin in our minds. Here now is Gene and his special guest to discuss this very important biblical principle.
Well, thank you very much, Alan. This week has gone by very, very quickly. My special guest has been Randy Alcorn. Randy, it's hard to believe a whole week has gone by, but we're talking about the purity principle. By the way, go ahead and restate that purity principle. We mentioned it on Monday, but it's rather grabbing.
Well, what it is that purity is always smart and impurity is always stupid. No exceptions. Emphasis on the word always. Sometimes it becomes obvious in the short run how smart or stupid our choices have been, but always it pans out in the long run. We're going to see that purity is always smart, impurity is always stupid.
You have a chapter entitled The Battle is in Your Mind, and let me just share a little bit of that with our listeners, and I'd like you to interact with it. But you say the truth is sexual sin never comes out of the blue. It's the predictable result of natural processes. Relationships are neglected, and a mind gets exposed to impurity. Tomorrow's character is made out of today's thoughts. Temptation may come suddenly, but sin doesn't. Neither does moral and spiritual fiber. Both result from a process over which we do have control. We become what we think. We forge our sexual morality through an ongoing series of choices and actions, including tiny indulgences, minuscule compromises. The eye lingers here, the mind loiters there. Like a photographic plate forming an image, our mind accumulates what we expose it to, godly or ungodly. And then your concluding thought, the battle is in our minds. You know, it's out there everywhere, Randy. You can't turn around without seeing images that certainly are not wholesome images in terms of what God says sexual purity is.
Yes.
And as, you know, as normal human beings, we're tempted by this.
That's right.
It doesn't mean we're perverts because we're tempted by something that God has created.
Well, I think we have to realize, Gene, as you well know, that lust is fed by whatever we've deposited in our brains, and that this temptation can get its claws into, so to speak. So what's in our brains is kind of the raw material with which lust can be fed. If we don't take much in terms of lustful images, then our brain doesn't have that to lock onto. But our brains basically retain what we've allowed in through our senses, and we have choices. And we make choices daily as to what enters into our mind. I had somebody tell me, well, you know, you can't help it. I mean, everywhere you go, like even going down to the beach in the particular part of the country they live in, Southern California, you know, every time you go down to the beach, you see women in these swimsuits, and you look away from one and you're looking at another one, and you just can't get away from it. Well, first of all, where in the Bible does it say you have to go to the beach? You don't have to go to the beach. Now, I love to go to the beach, and in Oregon, most of the year, we don't have that big of a problem that my brother in Southern California does because women aren't dressed that way at the beach in Oregon usually. But nonetheless, we have choices. Same thing. Somebody says, well, I can't help it. I mean, every time I even just get an email, we get this provocative email that comes in, and then there's the internet, and I'm even trying to stay away from some stuff, but next thing I know, I'm pulled in by something because it's all over the place. Again, where in the Bible does it say that we have to have access to the internet, that we have to have access to email? Now, I use the internet, but one of the things I've said to myself is if I ever go to one of those places I shouldn't go, then I'm not going to use it anymore. And wow, that's a great motive to keep me away because I don't want to stop. I mean, I do a lot of research and I use the internet and I really don't want that to happen. But we just have to get realistic. Actions, habits, character, destiny. All of those start with a thought, and those thoughts are fostered by what we choose to take into our minds.
And unfortunately, sexual images, explicit images, can just almost imprint themselves on our minds, and it's the type of thing that lingers. It's there. It can be triggered, brought up. In other words, this is not something that is just mere talk. We're dealing with a reality here. Satan knows it. And, of course, pornography is tapping into that. And it's an incredible impact on our culture and society. Randy, how important is accountability in relationship, particularly as men?
Well, I think it's critical. I mean, I think we've all got to have people that we're really honest with. I tell the story in my book of a friend who I called one night because I was going to have breakfast with him the next morning, and I was experiencing tremendous sexual temptation to go rent a movie or look at something I shouldn't look at, whatever it was. My wife was out of town. I called the guy and I said, you know, Ed, I am really struggling with temptation. Would you do me a favor, just when we meet for breakfast tomorrow morning, ask me what I did? And he said, I sure will, Pastor. I'll ask you what you did. And, you know, the moment we hung up, literally, I had no more temptation. None.
You knew what was going to happen.
That's exactly right. I knew I was going to answer Ed's question the next morning. And so, now you say, well, if you were more godly, you'd realize that the Lord is with you. He's watching you. And that's the really important thing. But you know, God has made us also to need each other and to draw strength from each other. And that's where I think that accountability is really critical. And one other thing I'd say in that regard, Gene, is that it takes more than just confessing week after week. I know some accountability groups where the guys just come pretty much week after week and confess to each other their sins from the previous week. Well, at some point, I mean, confession is good, but at some point we need to also help each other actually have some victory in this area.
One of the things I'd just like for us to comment on, and that is that I think as Christian men, we need to develop an openness with our wives in being able to communicate our temptations. And
Absolutely.
That takes a very mature woman. It takes mature communication. I'm thankful for that. I know you are. You share that in your book because I can talk to my wife about things like that. And she's very understanding and very supportive and will pray for me when I travel. And if I'm tempted when I'm on the road, I can call her and we can pray together. Not everybody has that relationship, and I think in some instances also that there are issues that men need other men. They shouldn't put that burden on their wives. Take just a minute to comment on that before we close.
Oh, I agree. I really want to reinforce what you said, Gene, about the importance of honesty and openness with your wife. At the same time, you want to not get too specific in terms of, let's say there's a friend of the family, a friend of your wives, whatever, that you find your eyes moving toward her. It's probably not going to be helpful to start talking specifics like that, that will imprint an image in your wife's mind. But at the same time, to be able to be totally open and honest and say, and I've had to do this with my wife where I said, you know, Nancy, you can watch this movie, you can watch this television program, and it's not tempting you, but really I can't. And we do need to turn away when those commercials come on and all that, because even though they don't bother you, they do affect me. And she's become much more supportive and understanding as I've been open with her. But as you say, Gene, we've really got to get with other men and realize we're together in this battle, and we truly do need to help each other in this battle.
I'm Gene Getz, your host during this program, and in just a few minutes we'll tell you how you can get a copy of this book. It's excellent for group study, men's accountability groups, couples reading it together. We'll talk about that in just a couple minutes. I'll be right back.
In just a couple of minutes, we will share with you how you can get a copy of this powerful little book entitled The Purity Principle. Well, this is a subject all of us need to think about, pray about, and practice in our lives. Well, Gene, it's no secret, if we take the Bible as God intended, that the boundaries of sex are the boundaries of marriage. In other words, sex and marriage go together. Now, why do even Christians ignore this very significant teaching?
Well, Alan, I think there are a couple of reasons. One being, very foundational reason, is that the moral value system in our culture has changed. We're being brainwashed in our movies, in our books, on news broadcasts. You know, we're considered to be old-fashioned, if indeed you hold to the fact that sex is a relationship that ought to be reserved for marriage. You can't believe that. You know, we're beyond that. We've gone beyond that. Come on, wake up. You know, you hear that message long enough and you begin to say to yourself, hey, the Bible standard is not really the standard. The cultural standard is what we ought to follow. We become brainwashed, as I said. Now, the other factor following right in the steps of that is that we are easily deceived. You see, rationalization is nothing new. We can distort what God says. We can rationalize. We can justify. In fact, we can make the Bible teach about anything we want if we want it bad enough. An example here, of course, in the sexual relationship is that we can rationalize that our relationship is indeed a committed relationship. We're going to get married, we're engaged, or we're in love with each other, and therefore we may not be officially married, but in God's sight we are married. Well, sadly and unfortunately, many of these relationships often do not last, and they set the stage for more disappointment, even in a future marriage. And you know something else? When people think that way, there's no accountability. This is between two people. But when marriage takes place, an official marriage, these are statements that you make in the presence of fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters and children and friends. You're saying, "Till death do us part." That, you see, is accountability. And that's why we need to take very seriously what the Bible says, leaving father and mother and being joined to a wife or to a husband through an official public declaration that we are committed to this person the rest of our life, and then saving that unique relationship, that sexual relationship, for that kind of commitment that is made publicly, something that you take very seriously in relationship to the will of God. Well, you may want to get a copy of this book. It's very, very helpful for group discussion, a book you can hand to your son or your daughter. It's entitled The Purity Principle, and we'd love to have you have a copy. You can contact us here at Box 2400, Dallas, Texas, 75221. The book's available for a suggested donation of $10. Remember, too, our toll-free number, 1-800-RENEWAL, 1-800-RENEWAL, and our website, renewalradio.org. And now, once again, here's our contact information.
Thank you, Gene. Once again, our phone number is 1-800-RENEWAL. That's toll-free, 1-800-RENEWAL. Or you can find us on the web at renewalradio.org. That's renewalradio.org. And our mailing address is Renewal, Box 2400, Dallas, Texas, 75221. Once again, that's Box 2400, Dallas, Texas, 75221. We hope to hear from you today. And please join us again on Monday, right here on Renewal.